Antinatalism leads to a tremendous birth dearth, but there is hope, and it's a little weird. I am Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, and this episode of Right Angle is brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. And gentlemen, there's a column in the New York Times by an author named Dr. Tom Wyman. And by the way, he's got to be an author by writing the book Infinitely Full of Hope, Fatherhood and the Future in an Age of Crisis and Disaster. And the column points out that while many people kind of joked that during 2020, during the pandemic lockdown, when couples were forced to spend inordinate amounts of time with each other, that one might expect that there would be a little mini baby boom the following year. But in fact, if stats are correct, they're actually expecting in the United States alone some 300,000 fewer births than would otherwise have been expected in a year such as this year. And the birth rate in Europe has just gone off a cliff. And so it's even worse in other countries. But Stephen Green, what I thought was interesting about this article is that Dr. Wyman indicates that he is going to provide some hope. In fact, the headline of the New York Times column says, "How can I justify bringing new life into this terrible world?" And I thought, well, this is good. Some young people need to hear this, that he and his wife had a baby, they're about to have another baby, and they're explaining why they could do this so hopefully. And I will cut to the chase. His ultimate conclusion of this is, yes, the world is a terrible place, and every new baby that you bring into it is just further exacerbating man-made global warming. But here's why he has hope. Because even though we've ruined the planet, if we introduce something new into it, there is hope, Steve, for the future of saving the world. Not this generation, mind you, we're doomed. But there is hope if we introduce that new life into it, that someday, somewhere down the line, our children or grandchildren might find a way to save the world. Steve, does that fill you with a sense of optimism about the future?
This guy's a bit of a kook, isn't he? This is
He's
my impression,
doctor, Steve.
I didn't read the column, but if your description of his argument is correct, then I have no reason to doubt you. You are fair and balanced and all that good stuff. People are awful, but maybe we should have more of them. This is what I gleaned from this column. God, leftists can suck the fun out of absolutely everything. You know, one of my favorite expressions, and I wish I knew who said this. Hell, maybe it was me. I don't know. I drink. Was that having a baby is the ultimate expression of confidence in the future. So, no, I wasn't surprised at all to learn that we had 300,000 fewer births than expected in 2020. Because where was the confidence? It was just an absolute crap year. There was a pandemic. There was a botched response to the pandemic. There was a lockdown. There was just adding trillions of dollars to the national deficit or to the national debt with absolutely no means or recourse or intention of ever paying it back. We got petty tyrants in running half the states in the country. It was a terrible, awful year. It should have filled people with absolute dread, not because of the COVID-19 virus, which is bad enough if you happen to be in one of the high-risk groups, but because of our idiotic, mangled, tyrannical response to the thing. So, no, I'm not surprised at all. What I am surprised by, I suppose, is this attitude of, I don't know, could you call it hope that the author expressed at the end of his own column? I suppose that's something positive to take away from all this. What I can say, though, is if hard times make hard men, maybe that's exactly what this country needs to get out of this spiral of over-government that we've been suffering through for these last 30 years. You know, I have a theory. In the 80s and 90s, we seemed to be on one of the smartest possible timelines. You know, we had a bad time in the 60s and 70s, but we, as a people, we woke up and got ourselves out of it. And the ultimate expression of that was the two terms of Ronald Reagan. You know, we figured this stuff out. We figured out how to stand up to tyranny. We figured out how to get back to deregulation and some smaller government. We re-remembered that you get peace through strength, not through weakness and all the rest. And we were on such a smart timeline that even the next Democrat who got himself elected president, Bill Clinton, ran as a centrist and kind of governed that way, especially when he had to after the 1994 election. And everything seemed to go tango uniform right around the turn of the century. And I have a theory what happened. I can't prove this. It's really more of a hypothesis. But a dangling Chad in Florida in November of 2000 opened up a wormhole in the space-time continuum and sucked the entire planet out of our very smart timeline and into the stupidest possible timeline, which is where we've been stuck since approximately January of 2001.
Bill Whittle, there is actually a, I don't, you know how big this is, but there's a movement called antinatalism, which is basically arguing that birth is morally wrong. So giving birth is morally wrong. One of the great advocates of antinatalism, a South African philosopher named David Benatar, he wrote a book in 2006 called Better to Have Never Been, The Harm of Coming into Existence. Now, what I can tell about David Benatar is that he published a book. So apparently he does not adopt his own philosophy because clearly he violated by coming into existence and then writing a book about it. But this, there is this idea, and the reason why the birth rate is plummeting is that highly educated, largely liberal-minded people are believing that it is a moral wrong to have children, not just about climate change, but all of the other evils that go on in the world. And so how do you talk to somebody on a moral level who legitimately thinks, well, you know, as much as I'd like to hold the offspring of our beautiful union here, I can't do that. I can't hurt the world that way.
Are you asking me how I would talk liberals into having more children?
I'm not saying you should talk liberals into having more children, but I was like, how do you
reason? Because I'm against this idea.
I know. How do you make, because you've often said that it's not an intellectual argument we need to make. It's primarily a moral argument. That's how we connect with people, is on a moral basis and on an emotional level. How do you connect with somebody who legitimately thinks they're doing good because they're not having a baby?
I will donate to that cause and hope that they spread that message as widely as they possibly can among other progressives. This Benatar guy is a complete absolute lunatic, and I'm in full agreement with him. He thinks the world would have been better off without him, and I think it would have been better off without him too. We're on the same table on this one. Although I'm a big fan of his wife's music, I might point out.
Yes.
Nevertheless, let's just examine the premise, right, that you started this whole thing off with. How can we bring a child into this world? Amen. I mean, something I struggle with on a constant basis. Just this last year alone, we had cable outages that lasted 45, 50 minutes without internet access. We've had situations where supplies of toilet paper ran dangerously low for several days there. Many times our Amazon delivery of nutritious, perfectly safe food has been delayed by up to half an hour, and on and on and on and on and on. Makes you wonder how you could possibly bring a child into a world with nonstop electrical power to take care of all of your drudgery and antibiotics and painkillers and hospitals, cancer treatments and all the rest of these horrors that we have to live with these days. Oh, how I pine for the days of our grandparents in Stalingrad when there was a real reason to bring children into the world and not live in this misery that we find ourselves in on a daily basis. How much better it would be if we could have only lived during the time of, let's say, the Battle of Gettysburg, when one third of the budget of the state of Mississippi was dedicated to providing replacement limbs for veterans who'd had them blown off in the Civil War. That was a time to have children, not this nightmare, horrible age that we find ourselves in today. And I could do this on and on and on and on and on and on. It is the most disgusting, disgraceful display of self-virtue signaling I've ever heard. And now we're on to it. Now you know why. What is the ultimate expression of virtue if you believe all of this BS. If you believe, oh, the planet's dying and the oceans, have you seen the oceans? They're dying. Like, when last time I was out on the ocean, I saw a school of 400 dolphin, but they must have been jumping out of the water to avoid the plastic. The reason that this is so disgusting and so disgraceful is because it is so unbearably narcissistic, right? What he's saying is, yes, of course, I've ruined the planet and all the rest of us have ruined the planet, but there's still a thread of hope that our children will be nothing like us. It's just a distant prayer that we have that perhaps through some miracle, perhaps some cosmic ray, we'll be able to bear children who'll be nothing like us. That's the only hope we could possibly have left for the planet, is that we could somehow just pray for humans who are nothing like us. You know, the left and progressives in the world have a death wish, and they want to take the rest of us with them, and I ain't going. I'm not going. And the thing I noticed about these people who have these death wish for the species, I noticed that they're not going either. I noticed that the guys who write about the curse of natalism, the horrors of being born, benefited from being born. I noticed that he has not renounced his claim to life on Earth as he continues to write these books about how awful life on Earth really is. What do you make about this? I just think it's a scam. And I think these people are self-serving narcissists who are telling a lie to make themselves feel better and to make themselves a ton of money so that they can enjoy the many benefits of being born in the early part of the 21st century in Western civilization. But I'm not going down this road with the rest of you guys. This is the best time to be alive in human history. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows it.
You know, it struck me as ironic, if you have this idea that you want to save the planet, well, for what reason are we saving the planet? Well, we want to save the planet for future generations who shall remain unborn. I mean, what are you saying? what are we saving the planet for unless we're saving it, you know, for the rodents and the lizards and others of higher moral character than the human race?
Precisely.
But it is, it's kind of sad, and it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because if you say, well, this world is a terrible place, so we're not going to bring children into it, to me, a world without children is a terrible place.
Amen.
When I am out at work and a couple comes by with a child in a stroller, it never ceases to amaze me. I literally stop in my tracks and just gaze at the wonder of a baby. And the parents share that gaze, and they know exactly why I have that look in my eye. Because they have seen that baby emerge, and they've watched that baby grow. And despite the challenges and difficulties of this life and the challenges and difficulty of being a parent and raising a child, nevertheless, they would, to a person almost, say, it was worth it. I'm glad I did it. This very author of this New York Times column is having another baby in September. God bless that little child. And it is,
good luck.
Until you get to the point where you've actually been part of the agency of creation of a new life, you can't fully understand what a wonderful, wonderful world this is. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making this possible.